everybody, it's Mike Jeffers, Chicago Jazz Magazine, chicagojazz.com, and welcome to Talkin' Jazz. We are here in the new studio, in the office, and the first guest I have, we've been talking probably for an hour, I should have been running the tape the entire time, Jesse Chavigny. What?
Great space.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, no, this is going to be fun, man. This is very convenient for me. And I think it also, you know, the artists are loose. Everybody's relaxing down here. So we're talking about Jesse Chavigny, his new recording, and an incredible show coming up. So it's called Introducing Jesse Chavigny.
Yeah, that's the name of the CD.
And then the name of the performance is?
It's called An Evening with Jesse Chavigny, featuring the Joel Hall Dancers.
And the Joel Hall Dancers. Now, you and I met, I don't know, four, five, six years ago.
Yeah, when I first started this venture of performing, of singing.
And you always do more than just sing.
Yeah.
So that's what's interesting to me. And this, I mean, you're doing it at the Logan Center. So the performance is going to happen November 1st at 7 p.m. at the Logan Center. Of course, all of us know University of Chicago, Riva and David Logan Center for the Arts, 915 East 60th Street in Chicago. Free parking, by the way. I always like to mention that in. And you're doing, there's like three or four facets to this. So let's talk a little bit. First off, and we'll get into the nitty gritty, but just let me fill everybody in here. We've got a world premiere. It's a 30-minute film called Stormy Weather Rhapsody.
Yes.
And then that goes from that, and it goes into you performing live with the Joe Hall Dancers there performing live. Mm-hmm. Then you have a Q&A.
Right.
20-minute Q&A or something. And then the recap, the capper of the whole thing is that there's a VIP reception after
that.
I mean, that's a full evening.
It is a full evening, and it took a lot of years to put this thing together, you know, considering the production of the album and then also the, you know, producing the film. So I directed it and I wrote it with amazing collaborators. So now this is the culmination of it, November 1st. So it's going to be pretty much a multimedia event that's all centered around jazz music and jazz dance.
So let's talk a little bit about how this came about, because, I mean, I know you've you're a filmmaker, and you're a screenwriter, and you're a vocalist.
Yeah.
And you probably write some music as well.
Yes.
So what don't you do?
Well, you know,
and you get sponsors, and you create programs, and I mean, it's incredible.
Well, you know, it's just recently, comparatively speaking, it's recently that I just started to pursue the music. I've always been a behind the scenes player. You know, I've produced films, I've managed other music artists, and I've consulted them, and you know, you don't really, or a lot of people don't really understand what goes to marketing an artist, marketing a project, marketing a film. But because I was a behind-the-scenes player, I definitely knew it. And unfortunately, a lot of the musicians don't really appreciate that and the work that you put into it. But I always had a love for music, and so I was working on a big project in Florida. And it was in the northern part of Florida. I won't say what town. But it was, you know, not much to do. So, you know, the money that I made doing this project, I pretty much saved. And I thought, I have all this money. I don't know what to do now. So I thought, you know, and plus I was a little frustrated. So I said, you know, I just want to sing. I just want to do my own music. So there's a friend here from Argentina, but he lived here, named Federico D'Antoni, an amazing songwriter. I know him when I worked with a band a decade ago called the Bandoleros, and he was the music director of that band, and the piano player, an amazing genius of a musician, top notch.
Yeah.
So I basically told him, nobody knew that I could sing, so he heard me sing and he was very impressed, and he's like, you know what, I have this song that I wrote. So he showed me the melody of the song. So literally within 20 minutes I wrote the lyrics to it. And it's called a song. It's a song called "Let's Not Discuss It," which is in the album.
Okay,
remastered. So he said, I have the perfect producer in Los Angeles. So right from Florida, I went to Los Angeles, and a gentleman by the name of Juan Pablo Mansur, also from Argentina. He has a great roster and a lot of friends that are musicians in California. So we So he loved the song too. So he basically arranged it and produced it, and we recorded it there with strings and an amazing bass player and piano player. And then everybody was so impressed. So then I came back to Chicago, and I said, and everyone said, this song is so cinematic. And I said, well, I'm going to do a music video for it. So then I acquired some filmmakers here that I knew, and I basically came up with the concept of the music video, and then we did the music video. And I kind of referenced Streetcar Named Desire.
Right. I remember that music video. Yeah, I remember that, sure.
So that's how that happened. Fast forward, since then, been working on the album.
Yep. Well, yeah, it's a big project.
Yeah.
I mean, so how long have you been working on this? I mean, you did one music video, basically. I mean, the last time. This is a 30-minute film.
It's a film.
Is it like a documentary film, or is it a film?
I'll call it a docudrama.
Okay.
So it is a narrative film based on true stories, featuring Joel Hall, who's an iconic, legendary dancer, choreographer, dance company founder of the Joel Hall Dancers and Center, and some past and present dancers of the Joel Hall.
Okay.
And it's basically about, it's called Stormy Weather Rhapsody, because we do feature a live performance by myself in called Stormy Weather, of course, the classic song. And then the stories are all true stories revolved around some of the dancers. What I did is I had a lot of the dancers basically send me or write a short synopsis of some of the challenges that they faced in pursuing their dancing and their art. You know,
it's probably kind of a long list.
Confrontations that they may have had, the lack of support that they may have had, the challenges, financial and otherwise. So I took all of these and I basically put them all together and then created and wrote a screenplay.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. And how did you, like, well, first of all, talk a little bit about how you met Joel.
Okay.
I mean, because since he's the central figure in the entire film, you got to know him a little bit, and then you decided to do this film about him, right?
So I met Joel. I actually did a radio interview, and he was listening in, and he heard my live recording of Stormy Weather. I had released a live album performance that I did at the Vic Theater, and he reached out to me on Facebook and basically said that he really loved the recording and that he would love to meet me and possibly collaborate on doing something together. An original choreography by him, along with a live performance of myself and my band. So we got together and we worked on that, and it was just a one-song performance.
Mm-hmm.
But then I got to know him better, and I went to see his holiday special or his holiday show that's called Nuts and Bolts. And
I remember that. I remember seeing
I
that.
I saw in the program book, you know, where you have the kind of like a stage bill and you have all the biographies of all of the dancers. And one of the dancers stood out. One of the biographies stood out. And it said that Joel Hall had saved his life. So I thought that was very, very powerful, especially for him to write it and to want it included in the stage bill for the world to see.
Yeah.
So I was curious as to what happened in his life that needed saving, or that Joel Hall saved. So with Joel's permission, I set up a meeting with this dancer. It's a male dancer. And so I met with him, and then he told me a little bit about his story. So then that's when I came up with the concept that I'm sure there are other dancers as myself and yourself as an artist. You know, we don't always get a positive support.
Right.
We're always told, get a regular job. You're never going to do anything. It's not going to pay you. And, of course, that's not, you know, why we do it. But we managed to do it. And so I wanted to find out other dancers and if they've had challenges as well. So that's when I said, you know, let's get them all together. And so we had a session at the Joel Hall Dance Center where all of the dancers were basically writing a summary of some of the challenges that they've had in their life. So it's all anonymous. Put this all together. I read it all, and I worked initially with a screenwriter who kind of started the beginning of it.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Peter McCann, and then he had to go back to Ireland because he was only here on a short education visa. So then he wrote a couple of pages, and then from there I took it over and then finish the entire film. And then it ended up that we were doing a show together with the Joel Hall dancers, which included Stormy Weather. And so we said, let's film this, and then let's see if we a film can evolve out of it.
So you filmed that first.
So we filmed that first. And then about a few months later, maybe even a year later, we finished the rest of the film that, for the most part, took place at the Joel Hall Dance Center itself.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you, Joe didn't think that this was ever going to come out of him calling you up on the phone and saying, hey, I like the way it is. But I mean, the way this whole thing is kind of organically grown has to be, first of all, as a filmmaker, that's got to be something that you're like, as you're doing it, you're seeing, wait a minute, let's do this. Wait a minute, let's do that, right? I mean, because I think a lot of times if you start off with a concept as a filmmaker and you're like, this is the way it's going to be, here it is, you know, what do you have, 30 days to shoot it and stuff like that. You didn't have that kind of a timeline for this, right? It was kind of like organically timelined out, roughly, I would imagine.
Well, then we only had a certain period of time to actually film the scenes that were at the Logan Center. Because it kind of coincided with the regular rehearsal schedule. We did have another day where we did the dressing room scenes, which was more acted out, you know, and scripted. I had an amazing cinematographer. His name is Kobe Swissa, and he did an amazing job in capturing everything, and he had the patience of more patience than I've ever experienced anyone ever had having. But he also, you know, believed in the vision and in the concept, and he's a musician himself. And I met Kobe, who was, I would say, like, if there was a partner in this project, it would be him. I met him when his wife had celebrated his birthday. I was performing at the Drake Hotel for five years.
Yeah.
So they looked me up online, and they liked what they heard, and they went to see me. And then it's a funny story because he almost went into the ladies' bathroom. If you're familiar with the Coupe d'Or, so I was gesturing him as I was singing, "Don't go in there, don't go in there." So afterwards, we talked, and then I found out he's a cinematographer.
Oh, okay.
And I told him about my project, and he said, "You know, Stormy Weather is the first record he ever bought."
Wow, really?
In Israel.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of the common ground, and then it just evolved, you know, organically from there.
Yeah. Ah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about the film.
Yeah.
And then you're going to start performing. Then you're going to perform live.
Right.
Now, who's in your group? Is it your regular group? I mean, but you haven't been playing around town all that much lately because you've been consumed with this, right? So who's in the group and what's that going to look like? Because then you're going to come out. The film's going to end, you're going to come out, and then the dancers are going to come out too.
Exactly. So it's the film will be shown first, and you know, the Logan Center is amazing because it has this huge screen. So after that, you know, the screen will rise, and then the show begins. And so I will be performing, of course, with my band, and then on some songs, the Joel Hall dancers will be accompanying me where it's appropriate. You know, I don't want a Beyonce show. You know,
they're not going to come down the aisles and
exactly. Yeah, I mean, sometimes it can be a distracting. It's like, where's the singer? Oh, there she is. You know, or here he is. You know, so I mean, and of course, it's because the Joel Hall dancers, their foundation is jazz, the jazz genre. So. And one of the few left, actually. So I wanted to incorporate that. So they're going to be performing select songs. We have their regular dance company. And then at the finale, it's going to be the kids, the youth company that's going to be performing with me as kind of like, you know, a finale.
Yeah.
My music director is Adrian Ruiz, who's basically was with me from the beginning. Young guy at the time. He's a master at Latin music, but also he adds a special touch to the you know, the classic standards that I've noticed, which is why I like performing with him, because I'm Latino myself, but I love the classic songs from, you know, Billie Holiday and Chet Baker and Nat King Cole and, you know, that. And so he knows how to give it a little bit of extra flavor. So, you know, we hit it off really, really well. And then for this performance, I have Constantine Alexander, who's playing the trumpet, and then Joseph Rendon, who's playing the congas.
So he's a monster.
On the recording,
player.
Charles Heath is on the recording of, yeah. of Stormy Weather. But right now, I believe he's
doing the
Color
Purple.
Color Purple. So
we had him on the cover of
I
the last
that.
Issue.
Yeah, that's how I found out he was doing the Color Purple. Like, he can't do mine. Maybe he'll get himself for that. I don't know. So
we're breaking
anyways.
News here on Chicago Jazz.
Yeah,
apparently.
Exactly. Exactly. That's how literally that's how I found out that he probably may not be able to do my show. But we have such a great yeah. you know musicians. I mean, that's the wonderful thing. Half of my album, I would say four songs of my album is recorded here in Chicago at Soundmind Studios
mm-hmm.
with Dennis Tosana. And then five of the songs are recorded in Los Angeles.
Okay. Well, yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the tunes on the recording mm-hmm. because kind of I went through some of them. And to me, they're all there's little twists on each one of them. They're different,
right.
stylistically wise. But a couple of the ones that jumped out to me was Quizás.
Quizás.
See, I knew I was going to say that wrong. Quizás. That's a fun. I mean, that's a fun Latin tune.
Yeah, my nephew especially loves
Who
that one.
Who wrote that?
That was...
I mean, how did you come up with the tunes for this recording, I should ask? I was going to get into the Bill
question.
Withers one, too, because I really dig that one. I like what you did to it. So.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. That means a lot from you. So, you know, I love cinema. And probably the film that introduced me to jazz music when I was very young was Lady Sings the Blues.
Mm-hmm.
And so... I heard all of these songs by Billie Holiday. So I fell in love with Billie Holiday because of the songs on Lady Sings the Blues. But through Billie Holiday's recordings, I came to learn about other songs and then other vocalists as well.
Mm.
Another film that had a big impact on my life was Let's Get Lost by Chet Baker.
Yep.
So, but... At the same time, most of the films or the songs that I chose have some kind of association with a movie. You know, Stormy Weather, of course. Even I Need Somebody to Lean On, which a lot of people don't know, is from Viva Las Vegas.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
It's from Viva Las Vegas. So I watched Viva Las Vegas, and Elvis Presley is singing about, of course, Anne Margaret after she dumped him, and he's just it's jazz.
Yep,
and it's one of the few
and it's Elvis
authentically
jazz.
Yeah. So I fell in love with that song, and Quizás, you know, growing up Latino, that was just a standard, and then a song that I do, and Quizás I do in English and in Spanish.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Kind of in a salsa mambo, but then also kind of
starts
bachata.
Off slow and then it kicks up.
Exactly.
Kicks up at double time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then Si Me Faltas Tu is by a very, very famous songwriter called Armando Manzanero, who wrote some of the best songs, Spanish songs ever written. I know Luis Miguel did a lot of his songs, and Jose, who just died,
mm-hmm.
also performed a lot of Armando Manzanero songs. But it's kind of, I would say, the equivalent to what the jazz standards are to the Latin
so
community.
So it sounds like the tune selection are tunes that you enjoy.
I enjoy.
You love.
I love.
And they have some sort of meaning to it because you enjoy them and you've had them in a certain part of your life or however it is. So that's how the whole thing came about. Now, introducing Jesse Charbonnet.
Yeah.
How'd you come up with the title? Because this is your sophomore release, isn't it?
Well, it's my first recording.
Okay.
It's my first studio recording.
Oh, okay.
The other album that I did was Live at the Vic Theater, and that was kind of by accident. We just happened to, get a paid gig at the Vic Theater, and then they recorded it, and it was pretty good. So I said, let's just make an album out of it, And plus, it was my way of being able to market myself so that people can see what we can do live.
Sure.
No frills and just the band. So this is introducing me, and also with the songs that I've chosen kind of gives you an idea of my taste.
Yeah. Well, and it introduces people to you because these songs all kind of mean something to you.
Yes.
So I think it makes a lot of sense, you know. All right. So November 1st, 7 p.m. at the University of Chicago Riva and David Logan Center for the Performing Arts, 915 East 60th Street. I'm sure a lot of you that are watching this have been there many a time, just part of the jazz
place.
Series.
Mm-hmm.
That space that you're going to be in for this kind of a thing is first of all, it holds about 400 people.
Right.
It's intimate, and the sound is incredible, and it's like a great place to watch a film and then watch a live performance at the same time.
Exactly.
And it flips super fast because it's all modern in there. Mm-hmm. I mean, the acoustics are incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So
great staff.
Oh,
great staff.
Incredible staff.
Great team,
right?
There.
And so tickets are still available, I assume.
Yes.
So arts.uchicago.edu. And also, why don't you give everybody your website so everybody knows where to find out about you and these tickets, too.
Fantastic. My website is jessecharbonnier.com, JessecCharbonnier.com.
We'll link it up.
Yeah.
We'll link it
Perfect.
All up.
Perfect. And just today, my album is available for pre-sales on iTunes exclusively. But November 1st, it'll be available in all streaming platforms.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
I'm excited.
Well, I'm glad you came down.
Well,
I'm glad you
so
made
much.
It down, and I'm glad you helped.
I appreciate it. This is a great space in a phenomenal building.
I know. You know, he walked in, and when he looked around, and, you know, now that we talked, and he's obviously, you know, a filmmaker and everything else, the first thing you thought about was, there's got to be some film stuff going on in here, you know. And sure enough, there's been some movies filmed here for sure in these buildings.
Oh, yeah, I can see that. And I'm sure more movies will be filmed here.
I think so, too. Maybe they'll want to come and film right here and do
a live episode. They should
talking jazz.
Hopefully this place is registered with the Illinois and Chicago film offices.
Oh, it is.
For location.
Yeah, it is.
I'm sure.
Trust me.
Oh, yeah.
But this space isn't. So maybe I should register my office.
There you go.
Yeah, the studio.
The biopic of your life.
I like that. Yeah, there you go. It features me all the time. You know?
Why not?
All right. So, Jesse, thanks so much. And
thank
of course,
you, Mike.
Thank
I appreciate
you for
it.
Watch. Absolutely. And thank you for watching. And hopefully he will see you November 1st. Hopefully I will see you November 1st
show.
As well.
It
sounds
Fantastic
incredible.
Show.
And by the way, is the film going to be up online somewhere once?
Well, that's interesting you should say that. So the premiere will be, of course, and it's, you could say it's a preview premiere.
Okay.
So what we do is then we'll welcome comments, suggestions about the film.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll go back and tweak whatever we need to tweak. And then we're going to get it ready for the film festival circuit.
Oh, okay.
So we're hoping that it participates in film festivals and dance festivals and jazz festivals across the country and across hopefully the world.
Yeah. Well, that's exciting. All right.
Yeah.
Well, keep us posted on that
obviously.
Mike. All right. And thanks so much for watching. Obviously,
you
can get all the other information on ChicagoJazz.com, Chicago Jazz Magazine, see past episodes. We've got like over 200 episodes now up on ChicagoJazz.com. And hopefully, Jesse will see you November 1st. Hopefully, I will see you the November 1st or somewhere else around Chicago. And if we don't see you somewhere, then hopefully we will see you somewhere in the future out on the scene.